can and turn to Psalms 52, I believe. Yep, Psalms 52. Don't have any announcements, but we'll keep you posted as we go along here. Starting in verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He will take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah.
Righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him.
And lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness.
But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever.
I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Amen. What a day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Jesus, I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be with all your heart. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. We thank you and praise you, Jesus. We're looking for that day when that morning arises and he reaches down and grabs our hand and just walks us home and say, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. I've missed being with you. The thing that I want to do more than anything in life is just put my arms around him and say thank you, because I'm not sure I even have the vocabulary to tell him how much I appreciate him. As the brothers come forward, I don't have any written prayer request, but you can see how many people are missing tonight. Just pray that the Lord will help them through whatever it is that they're working on. And also, I was talking to Brother Pena, And I know he's praying for his wife and his daughter and his son. His son's older and married, obviously. And as much as he's talked to them, they still won't come to church. And he just is missing having them with him. And Brother Samson over in India was telling me that that Brother Peter we prayed for, they're just kind of at a standstill right now, waiting on what the Lord will provide for them so they can work on their church some more. And then for those of you who don't know, Joel C., Sister Shelley's oldest son, lives in Florida. He goes to Brother Danny Steeman's church, and he's actually married to the youngest daughter, the youngest sister of Brother Danny Steeman. And I don't know, he's probably mid-40s or something. He has colon cancer, and this is the second time it's come back, and they've already operated once, and now he's going to be on chemo for about 6 months, and he's self-employed, so no money for him. But just asking God to heal him. That's all he wants to know. So maybe you don't have it that bad tonight, but there's something you want from the Lord. He still will provide your simplest need. If you need to know what color of Kool-Aid to buy at Kroger's tonight on your way home from church, you ask him, because that's how much he cares about each one of you, because he loves you with all his heart, just like any father or mother would love their son or daughter, as Brother Steve leads us in prayer. Yes. Amen. You ready to get on out of here someday? My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling. Traveling on. Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. And God is so everything. God is so good, my best friend. Oh, God is so good. He's so good to me. Lord, let me past the curtain of sorrows and fear. Oh, let me view that sunny, bright climb. It would strengthen our faith and would banish all fear. Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. Lord, let me look past the curtain of sorrows and fear. Oh, let me that sunny, bright climb. It would strengthen our faith and would banish all fear. Lord, let me look past the curtain. You wanted to see it past it? Lord, open our eyes. Lord, let me past the curtain of sorrows and fear. Oh, let me view that sunny bright cloud. It would strengthen our faith, oh, and would banish all fear. Let's raise our hands. Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. Oh, Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we can see you above all things.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn together. Hebrews chapter 6, and as you're turning there, it's good to have a buddy, my son's buddy, I suppose, but it's good to have you with us tonight, Liam. God bless you. Justin, it's good to see you back there as well, brother. God bless you. Hebrews chapter 6. I can find it myself. There we go. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 16. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. Since for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, more willing abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And also 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13. Just that one verse, 1 Corinthians 13. Excuse me. Verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I'd like to preach tonight on the keeping power of hope. The keeping power of hope. Let's bow our heads together. We bow our heads before Him. If you'd like to lift the knee to Him, you're more than welcome to tonight. God bless you. Amen. He knows your heart, children. Just the way you pray, let's open up our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful once again to be gathered into your house, Lord, to have your presence here amongst us, your promised word, Lord, that's never failed us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness to this word, to bring it to pass in our lives. Lord, that you've been so faithful to never leave us or forsake us as you promised you would. We love you with all of our hearts. We thank you for providing for our least needs, Lord. And as we come to this word, Father, we pray that all of our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings be washed away, Lord, and that as the Holy Spirit speaks, we'll have a willing heart and an open mind to receive the things that you have for us. Many needs are lifted up to you tonight, and we pray that you'll meet each one in your own special way. We come, Lord, to fulfill your word, Lord, in the midst of us, being faithful to the call. Help us, Father, we pray, as we commit this service in your faithful hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, I always like to quote that scripture there in 1 Corinthians 13, knowing that 1 Corinthians 13, which we'll get to on Sundays here soon, but it's about love, charity, as the Bible calls it, that love that has service to it, love that does works, love that you can see. And it is the greatest thing you could have in life is to have the real love. As Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And knowing that Jesus was the greatest conqueror there's ever been, and how did he do it? He did it by love. But what I love about verse 13, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. So these three have to abide. It's not that they come and go. It's that these things abide in the Christian life. It's not dependent on anything else. It's just that we're believers and we have these things and we've got to have faith, hope, and charity. And I know many times hope kind of gets overlooked a little bit, I think. We know we ought to have faith. You know, you can't really get anywhere with God. As the Bible said, it's impossible to please God without faith. And we know that, and again, 1 Corinthians 13 says, without the love of God, I'm nothing. I haven't done anything. But the reason I think hope gets overlooked many times is because hope, as necessary as it is for the Christian walk, the world's pretty much stole the word from us and made it mean something that it doesn't mean. The world's hope, when you say you hope for something, you've got no assurance it's going to happen at all. You're just kind of, you know, throwing the dice. I hope I get two sixes right here, you know, and that's how people think hope is in the gospel. But the Bible doesn't use the word hope that way at all. It has nothing to do with chance. Nothing in God's program is left to chance. Even in the, I think it was the book of Ruth, when she's going, Ruth is being out in the field gleaning and things, the Bible says her hap was to come upon the field of Boaz. No, it wasn't. It just looked like that because God led her right to that man's field. It had to, because the lineage of Jesus was dependent on it. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It had to happen that way. But as far as man would say, it'd say this looked like a little bit of chance. And you might do the same in your life if you're not careful. Think things that are just chance. No, God ordained it that way for a reason. Amen. Hope is necessary for the Christian walk, but we've got to properly place this hope first. And before I get anywhere too far, remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So don't never put all your hope into this world, Christian friend. Our hope is to get out of here. Our hope, as we read it in Hebrews, when God gave promise to Abraham, he did it with immutability of his counsel and that God couldn't lie. And he says that hope is an anchor to the soul. That anchor ain't in this world at all. It's in the world that is to come. And it's an anchor. It's tied. You can feel it. You can tug on it. And it's going to pull you right where the anchor's at. Amen. And we've got to put that anchor there. That's why denomination is so cursed. That's why building the church for the sake of the church is such a cursed thing, because you're putting the anchor in the wrong spot. Exactly. To put it here won't get you. What good does it do to get you to this building? There's nothing different in this building than being at your house. It's the presence of the Lord that comes and casts something in you that goes beyond this place. It goes beyond just hearing me talk to you, and it puts an anchor behind the veil. And who's over there? Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where our hopes lay at tonight. At a Victory Day 63, says, and I'm telling you, as a little Christian group sitting here this morning, well, we're sitting here tonight, so hold to God's unchanging hand. You've had a temporary victory, but there is coming a real V-Day completely when Jesus shall come. And the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. And if you don't have that hope within you, don't let this day pass without getting it. Isn't that the truth? We need that hope, Christian friend. And I can't emphasize that enough, especially in this day that we're living in now. People are losing their hope in Christ. The anchor they don't feel it no more. And like I said, you might have faith and you might have love, but you got to have hope to kind of pinch the whole thing back together. We're not just hoping, man, God help me to say this, is our hope that God knows what he's doing, that what's coming is going to be good for us, is the very thing that's going to get us from here to there. You won't get there without hope. 1 Peter 1, if you have your Bibles. Just this verse here, but then we'll go to Romans 5 in a second. But 1 Peter 1, oh my. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What does the resurrection bring to the Christian? It brings you a hope that you have an inheritance. How do I know I have an inheritance? Because the one that already paid for it has resurrected in my place. And when he raised, I raised with him. When he died, I've already died to sin. And if he's already sitting on the right hand, ready to come take the kingdom, then I'm already in him, ready to do the same thing now. Because I'm an inheritor of it. Why? Because I'm his child. And because of that resurrection, I've got a hope, a lively hope. What does that mean? It's a living thing. It's something that pulsates the way I live my life. It's the thing, and like I said, the hope of the world to come is the very thing that's going to get you through this dark time right now. The power of God, 55, says, so beyond all this dark cloud that we see, faith catches a glimpse of the resurrection over yonder of a God. So I'm so thankful that there is a hope beyond the grave and faith that brings us to that place. Faith that takes its position on the rock of God's word and all the waves of hell beating against its foundation. It'll take the eagle eye and soar beyond them clouds and see God of resurrection and promise. I'm so thankful for that tonight. And I know you are, and every believer is. Think, we have an anchor, amen, that's in the veil. We can't see it sometimes, but we know it's there. And Christian friend, you can't get away from that. That hope is what God has given to you to guide you through this life. That it keeps you from giving up. It keeps you from getting sad about it even. Because the word hope actually comes from elpese, and I might not be saying that right, but it's a Greek word. And in the Christian sense, we can think hope for all kinds of things. Like I said, the world uses it. You can hope for bad things. You can hope for good things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what the Bible is bringing us as hope. And in the Christian sense, it's the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. The joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. And you say, well, that's just in the world to come. Well, all those benefits of eternal salvation take effect now. There's a joyful expectation. You say, well, ain't nothing happy to be about. That proves to me you ain't got no anchor yet. Because you're just hoping like the world does. But as a Christian, our hope is I know God said it. I know God will do it. And I know, I'll just go right there, Romans 8:28, that all things are going to work together for good because I love God and I've been called according to his purpose. And that hope helps me through every trial of my life. And it gives me a smile when I don't really have one. It gives me confidence when everything around me is shaking. It gives me confidence to say, I know it's okay. Because God has given me hope. Not myself, not my pastor, not my feelings. That'll all come and go. But when God places the anchor, all hell can come against it. It ain't going to stop it.
No way.
Amen. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. And not only so, now listen to this, we're not only looking at the resurrection to come, but that is our anchor. Let me make sure I get that clear to you tonight. The anchor that we're going to be okay is that we're going to get raptured out of this place. That's what brings it all around, that God is a heaven prepared for us. He prepared a place. It's got our names in it. We're going there. That's the anchor. But yet, even so, look what he says here in verse 3. And not only so. So it's not all there because we have benefits of it now. But watch what it looks like in this life before you get carried away. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What are you getting at, Paul? He's bringing it down to reality now. In this life, that is. That's not a reality. That's absolutely a reality. But we're talking about where we're living at right now. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, we're trying to get to hope now, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. No, I just want the hope right here. I just want to see it there. Look, the experiences you go through, the tribulations, the times of overcoming are what bring you to a hope for the next trial that comes, for the next hardship that comes, the next knockback that comes. You've had experience, you've had patience, and it leads you to hope. To what? It's going to be okay. Why? It was okay last time. I didn't think it was, but it was. Experience to hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. What does that mean, brother? It means you're not ashamed. You start testifying. Everybody says, no, you ain't got nothing to it. He says, what do you mean? I got God on my side. So no, you ain't got a job. You ain't got a home. You ain't got no friends. I don't care about it. I got a hope in Christ. It's going to be okay. Amen. And they look at you silly, but you're not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What does that mean? When we were actually, as even before God, hopeless, there was somebody who came on the scene and gave us hope, and that was Christ. And because he would do what, if Christ would do that for us in our worst state, how much more is he going to take care of us now that he has saved us and sanctified us and called us out of the world and baptized us in his name and into his spirit? How much more is he obligated to take care of us now? Yeah. Amen. That ought to give you some hope, Christian friend. That God, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't even change his mind. How many knows that? Even when it looks like he's changing his mind, he's not changing his mind. He knew what he was doing the whole time. Listen to this. God's provided a way. 61, he says, I could change my mind. You can change yours. I could change something, have to take it back. Or I could say something, have to take it back. I'm a man. You're a man and a woman. But God being infinite, he cannot make another decision about it. He's got to stay with his first decision because every decision is perfect. See, we're finite. We can say, well, I was wrong. But he can't be wrong and be God. So what action he taken? If he was called on the scene at one time to save a man and he saves that man on a certain basis, if any man, anytime, anywhere meets on the same ground, God's obligated to do it again. If he healed a man because of his faith, he will have to meet that same condition each time, or he did it wrong when he saved the first man or healed the first man. See, that's what he achieved for us. Faith. Faith to believe his word. And that faith to believe his word, brother, if you let go of hope, you let go of your very access into those promises. If you let go of hope and that joyous expectation, brother, you can say, oh, I believe God and I believe I'm healed, but you know, I'm still feeling this. I don't believe you, brother. You're groveling. Look, you get quiet, but that's what it is. We get under the pressure. If you're actually believing that what he said he was going to give me, I have it now. By faith, I've got it now. But this hope, this joy is what will lead me to it. Until, look, we don't just get healed spiritually now. Your physical body isn't just getting, that's the Jehovah's Witness doctrine or whatever. Everything's spiritual to the point it doesn't do nothing in this world. That's nonsense. Abraham was promised a son. He didn't just spiritually have one. All right, there was a boy born. All right, and had that not happened, he would not be the father of faith. Oh, I just feel it one day. And blah, no, come on. It's got to materialize. And I believe that you confess your healing. That's right. But the hope and the joy and the confident expectation is what brings the body from just confession to healed. Amen, amen. To delivered. Come on now. To God provides the thing that I asked him. Amen. We don't just ask and just hope so, maybe so. That's what the world does. Our hope is I know so. And I'm happy waiting on God till he gets here. Because he can't lie. He can't fail. He has to do what he says he was going to do. When you let go of hope, when you let go of joyful and confident expectation, you have literally paralyzed your own faith. Brother, we will prove it every time. Every time we get away from that joy. Look, I know he promised it to me, and I just believe it. And you just, something on the inside puts a smile where there ain't even supposed to be one. Because there's just something begins to rise, says, I know it's right there, but it's mine. God gave it to me. And all hell can't take it from me. It puts a smile on your face. And then Satan throws this, throws that. What do you do? It's just water on a duck's back. You ain't got no, you just might as well quit talking to me, Satan, because I ain't listening to that. I'm listening to the hope of what God has given me. But if you let go, it'll paralyze your faith. And you will lose what God has freely given you. Isn't that something to think about? You will lose what God has freely given you. God have mercy. Let's never do that to the Lord. Now, I got a couple of scriptures for that, so come with me. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and then Hebrews 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Excuse me. His voice. Here we go. Colossians 1, 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled and beaten, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. What's he saying there? He's like, all these things are yours. You used to be an enemy of God, but Christ is taking your place. He has died in your place, and he has brought you out of that over here to a realm of blessing and inheritance, and where you're holy, unblameable. Think of that, children. I don't know if we get the reality of that. We are unreprovable in the sight of God, who knows everything.
Exactly.
How perfect can you be? That shows you that it ain't no works you could ever do. It's no thoughts you come up with. It takes the literal blood of Jesus Christ to come into your life to make you that holy.
Amen.
Amen. But if you let go, if you get away from that faith, if you're not rooted and settled and you begin to be moved away from that hope, what happens is all the benefits of those things go away.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 3. Don't get so predestinated you don't realize you got to still believe this. It's right. You can't just say, well, I hope so. No. That's not the hope we're talking about tonight. That's what the world has. We don't want none of that. That ain't going to help you at all. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. This is talking about Israel. And they were hardening their hearts. But the exhortation here says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. People wonder what departing from God looks like. What it really looks like, it isn't even just what comes on the outside. That's just the attributes of it. That's where it leads to. What it was is you started doubting him. You started disbelieving him. So all the way back here, you've got to come back to that root. And I'll tell you, if your hope left, that's go back to where you stopped having hope, and you'll find where you got away from God.
Amen.
All right. Take heed, brethren, and that's, again, don't, well, I'm a Christian, I don't got to worry about this. Then who in the world is he talking to?
I don't know.
He didn't say, take heed the world. He didn't say, take heed the ones that, no, he said, brethren, these are people that are saved. These are people that are supposed to be Holy Ghost filled.
Yes,
but we've got to still take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Don't wait until it's too late. Do it now. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ. What are we made by him? We are partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Andrew. This day got so hard, and it's so hard to hold on. It's so, no, that ain't what the Bible said. It said, if you believe it, hold fast that same confidence when you first got saved. I think sometimes we got to go back and get saved again. I don't really believe you can, but you know what I'm saying. We got to go back and remember, wow, I was completely hopeless. I didn't have God or anything at all, and yet he went out there and got me. And I became so saved because I was so lost. I knew it would take something to literally change me that there's no way man did this, because I was brought from such despair to such hope. Do you understand what I'm getting at? And when that experience happens, what does Satan do? He'll give you a little time. Oh, sure. Go ahead. Go ahead and enjoy it. And then he'll just kind of knock it down just a little and just a little and just a little and just a little until you go, well, maybe he didn't really do anything. Or maybe that was just a feeling. And you start getting like half saved for a while. There ain't no such thing. Then now you're only a quarter saved. You're only saved on Sunday, Wednesday if you're at best, and the rest of the week you done lost. And then I watch it. That's what a lot of people do with. That's why a lot of people don't come to church all the time too. Let's just call it what it is. They're just rolling the dice, hoping that the Lord comes on the good day. Come on, Lord, come on. Bam! Yes, I'm spiritual today. I'm going. Brother, that ain't what we believe. That's, we need to have this. We are made partakers if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. The God that saved me is the God that keeps me. The God that keeps me is the God that's going to take me home.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anyone else. It has to do with what Christ did for me and what he promised he's going
to
do for me.
He is doing it to me.
Amen. He has to because God said it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Glory, glory, glory.
So, well, I got to wait a long time. Sure, you got to wait time. That's why we're children of Abraham. Jehovah Jireh, 59, he says, remember, each one of you that's sick, Jesus healed you 1,900 years ago. When he died at Calvary, he was wounded for your transgressions. With his stripes, you were healed right then. See? Now, if you're children of Abraham, believe that promise. It's yours. Might not happen just at this minute. Might not happen in the morning. It's got to happen. It never happened for Abraham for 25 years, but it did happen. But if Abraham, you still listening? But if Abraham would have ever given down, it wouldn't have happened. But you've got to hold on, see, to God. Just take a hold of it tonight by faith and believe it, and every one of you will be made well. And that's what I see, brother. That's why hope is such a driving force to get faith where it's supposed to go. God, and we've had those experiences. You come, you know, you get prayed for, and you can just feel the Holy Spirit coming and saying, I'm the God that heals you. And something stirs on the inside, and you might even have that little chill bump experience. I appreciate that too. I don't base all my faith on it, but I still appreciate it. I know a lot of people like to condemn the whole thing. I know Satan give you chill bumps as well, but I appreciate the Lord doing it for me. I call them glory bumps. You know, whew, yes, feel good. But that's not where my faith is. My faith is he said it. He promised it. I've believed him. I'm going to hold on. And what gets me from here to where my body's healed is hope.
Amen.
Not the world now. Remember, I've already defined it. The joyful and confident expectation. Yes, Lord, the God that answered me at that altar, he's going to heal me. He promised it. I don't care what I feel right here. I don't care what the doctor's about to tell me. That ain't my expectation. My expectation is what God told me up at that altar.
He said it.
That before I even asked, he had already answered. Before I even needed the healing, he already provided the blood to give it to me. Before I even asked him to do anything, my entire redemption was bought and purchased free and clear by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of life came to show you, that your name was always there and the blood erased your old life of sin so that everything that was already written about you could now come to pass. And when you believe that, it brings hope. And can I say it like this? It doesn't even just bring hope for you. It brings hope for every redemptive promise that you know God gave you. Because I'll tell you this, we've been walking in hope for ourselves sometimes, and God bless you, and I believe that as well. But I wonder, are we going to let go of hope when it comes time when we pray for others?
No way.
Because things don't go the way we think they ought to. And it don't look so joyful no more. Don't always look so confident anymore, does it? Because you know what? It ain't in your hands now. That's the one thing, though, that's true, is every man has a right to choose himself. That's right. God can't make you do anything. I know that sounds hard for a lot of people, but remember, when God makes a decision, he can't back out on it. So when God put man on free moral agency, you can do as you please. He can't take it back. You have to do what you want to do. That's why even sinners, if they want to get in that channel, they can submit themselves to it, and God will say, okay, I'll come step in now. But he can't do it. He can't override that. And you know what? He can't do it to you either, Christian friend. That's why sometimes a sinner gets it, and you get jealous of it because you won't know how to yield to him because you're still trying to do it. Instead of letting him, you got to get out of the way. Come on now. We try to get big on God. We just need to get small. And just hope that what he said, we will receive. I know this is a simple thing, but I tell you, the hope is what keeps. I believe many people believe God. And I believe they apply the word right, but they've lost sight of hope to get it from here, a seed of faith, into the whole plant of faith. God don't plant it. We don't plant a thing of corn hoping to get that again. When you plant that one seed, what are you expecting? I want the whole thing, right? I want more. That's God's law. So when I come up here with this, that little inkling of faith strikes me, I don't want just that. I want what that is supposed to bring forth. Amen. And I believe that when it comes to getting saved. God didn't save me just to save me and say, well, bless God, that's it. He wants me to go out and find someone else to get saved. Amen. We've got to walk in hope for others is either, because I think sometimes we go out, we're already defeated before we even try. We went out there without even hope in the first place. What are you doing? How are you going to find success in Christ doing that? Galatians chapter 6. And I know this gets quoted on the negative side a lot, but it works on the positive too. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, where am I? Oh, I was looking at the wrong thing. There we go. Verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And that's usually where most people quit reading. They say, well, all right, that's why I went through that. That's why I'm going through this. That's why I failed over here, because I sowed to my flesh. I'm going to have to reap for it, Brother Andrew. Yes, I hear you, Brother Sister. But, you know, there's another part to this verse before we get done. And I do think that was probably the intention that Paul was writing this for. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And, you still listening? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can I bring it to you what I'm bringing? If we can continue to hope. Continue to have joyful and confident expectation that what I've planted, I'll do it as a teacher, because I'll tell you right now, brother, sister, sometimes I get so discouraged when I begin to think of things like this, that I've tried and you feel like you've sown and you've sown and you've sown, and the devil will come by and one little thing happens and it looks like 10 years of what you've been sowing got rooted up in a minute. And you can't do nothing about it. Brother, sister, but you can't believe those things. You've got to believe what God said about it. That I didn't plant those things in myself. That wasn't my idea. It's what God led me to do. It's what God led me to say. It's what God told me to tell them, children. Right. It's the word He's had me share with them. It's the experiences I was supposed to do, no matter how little it looked. And I sowed that not in myself, but in His Spirit. And I must reap what God has sown. And I'm going to tell you right now, you get on Brother Andrew for his doctrine or however you want to feel about this. This is just me. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But I believe with all the opportunities that different people have been able to show me love or do a little thing for me, I'm going to stand on judgment day and they should deserve hell. But the grace of God comes in my life. Amen. It says, but Lord, remember what they did for me. They didn't have to do that, but show them mercy. I ain't talking first resurrection now. Don't get me wrong. If you ain't in the blood of covenant of Jesus Christ, you ain't going to be in no New Jerusalem. That's what I'm here for. Just to let you know. I ain't interested in second door in this thing. Okay? I'm not. I ain't preaching this to get you into a tribulation and come up second. I ain't preaching that. You want to know all the ins and outs about that? That's what something that you always bothered me. When Brother Brand was asked about questions on the seals, almost he even says this. He says, most of the questions are on this side of the rapture of the church. What in the world do we care about that? It just goes to show you that many people just like to figure things out. They don't actually have real hope. Because if you have real hope, I'm not going to be here. How is Moses and Elijah going to do this with Israel and different things? It doesn't matter to me, because I will be up here in the marriage supper of the Lamb enjoying time with all the saints of God before Jesus Christ and they'll be down there in judgment. I don't know. I'm not going to be here for that. Now we know God still gives it to us because you got to have it rightly placed or you don't know where you are. So that's, I understand that, but it's not my focus. I'll tell you that much. My focus is to get out of this world now. But knowing the grace of God, I'm going to tell you, His grace, His mercy is without understanding. It's without finding out. God is going to show so much more mercy than what the legalist thinks. And it's going to show you how pathetic the human condition was that anybody wasn't redeemed at the end of this. It's going to be amazing. Amen. To think that God could go down and find no place to give people mercy. Look, it's going to happen. That's what he told Pharaoh, the same thing. He said, you raised up for this purpose. You just harden yourself against me. And knowing that you would never listen to me, I allowed it so I could show my children my power. Amen. Why do you think the devil exists in the first place? Right. I mean, he's glad that the devil's at least there so you can see God's power is so much greater than he is. Amen. That's right. Now I know sin shouldn't have been here in the first place, but now that it is, aren't you glad that we've got something to compare how great our God really is? I know that's a little deep maybe, but if there'd never been a sickness, you'd never know him as healer. If there was never anything to bring you into captivity, you never know what deliverance was all about. Yet he came and did it for you, and now you know that he's the greatest force there's ever been. Amen. Hebrews 6, right back where we started now. But I'd like to jump a little bit before where we read. Hebrews 6. Verse 9. And if you want to read that first part, you can read this whole chapter. But he talks about those that have tasted and turned away and they were burned up and everything else. He says, but in verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Excuse me. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So though we have to bring the judgments of God and show you what God's going to do, we're not really saying that for your sake. We're just telling you because it's the truth. But for you, we're persuaded of better things. We're persuaded of things that accompany salvation. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. When? To the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them, who through faith and patience inherited the promise. And why does it keep going back to Abraham? Because he shows you that whole process there, that his tribulations led him to experiences, and those experiences led him to patience, that God is still going to fulfill his word even when I have failed him. If I'll just keep believing what he told me, if I'll keep coming back to the hope. What did the Bible say about Abraham? He said, who against hope believed in hope. So that means everything he looked at did not give him any joyful or confident expectation that God could do what he promised. Yet against that, he still had hope.
Amen.
Even when he made an Ishmael come on the scene and fail the whole program of God, the Bible does not record that he quit believing. He still believed that God was going to do what he said. Brother, sister, you've got to have the same faith in this age, because there's just too many ways to get knocked down to think that you're not going to fall and have to get back up. To not think that there's going to be times you're not going to feel joy at all, but you've got to hold on to your hope in Christ that says, I still have joy anyways. I still have confidence even when I look and there's nothing to have confidence that I'm even a son of God. Oh, you've never been there before. I've been there. I've been there when I look around and says, why in the world would a son of God ever have thought that? Why would he have ever had that idea? But you can't lay your faith in that. You've got to put it in the anchor. Right. That the God that called me didn't hold that to my account. It was washed away. Before I ever even thought that, the blood has already redeemed me from it. Right. And that's not who I am. I'm the man on the inside that's been tied to that anchor before the world ever was. That's why God revealed the seals. He showed you your name was on that book. And when you finally see your names on that book, it doesn't matter how much time passes. It doesn't matter how hopeless things look. You will hold on till the end. Glory to God. Brother Brandon was asked, and the question answers on the seals, about what we should do, and should we do all these great things, and should we change? Actually, he said, should we keep preaching? I find it funny because people think we should stop, but that's not his answer. But I want to read this to you. It's a little lengthy, but I want to close on this idea here. It says, don't get scrupled up now. That's what I'm trying to warn you about. See, just don't be odd, peculiar. Don't change nothing. But if you're doing something wrong or doing evil, repent, see, and come back to God. Continue on your evangelical service just as you always did. If you're building a house, put it on up. Jesus comes tomorrow, you'll be found faithful at the duty. If you're building a church, go on and put it up. I'd rather be putting my money in something like that than be found with it in my pocket, see? And so just keep on. Continue as you are. Everybody understand now? Continue right on. And just go right on as you are. Now, just don't stop. I want to emphasize that. Don't stop. Don't be weary in well-doing. Quit looking at things looking like they don't come to pass and get back to hope. No, God said it. It doesn't matter how hopeless it looks. I have a hope in Christ. I'm not stopping.
I don't know. Amen.
I'm going to keep believing what God told me.
I do.
Can't believe what he told me about my family, what he keep told me about my healing, what he keep told me about these promises that I know he's revealed to me. I'm not going to let go of it. I'm not going to stop. Now just, excuse me tonight. Now just don't stop. Don't do nothing. Just go right on just as you are. Keep on serving the Lord. Now, for instance, if you was working for a man and knowing it was 15 minutes before quitting time, no, don't preach this today, goodness, but here we go. If you knew it's 15 minutes before quitting time, well, you'd say, oh, just 15 minutes more, so I might as well just go over and sit down. You'd get ducked for those 15 minutes. If you're planting wheat, plant your wheat. You're digging potatoes, go on, dig them out. Say, well, nobody will eat them. That don't make any difference. Dig them out anyhow, see? Just continue on as you are. I got a letter from somebody the other day. Somebody told them, said, well, the time is at hand. Sell the farm. Now you won't need the food to live off on the farm because the millennium's going to start and you won't need it. So you just go ahead and while the tribulation period is going on, your children's not saved, and let the children have the farm where they can eat and sell your stuff and something like that. And oh, they had it. I said, oh my. If I'd have known he was coming tomorrow and I was a farmer, I'd put my crop in today. Sure, if he made me a farmer, I'm going to stay right at my duty. That's right. If he made me a mechanic, somebody said the other day, a fella come in and said, brother, you know what? I'm going to give you the second set of keys. I bought a new car. He says, I'm going to give you the second set of keys. Told his pastor. Said, I'm going to give you the second set of keys because the rapture might come, you know, and said, I won't be needing it anymore. Pastor was going to miss it, you see. Oh, that's making ready, isn't it? That's making ready, isn't it? Says, all right, but that's the way it is. See, we mustn't be that way. We must be sane, solid Christians, see? That I'm put here to work right up to the last minute. I've got a job to do, and I'll be found faithful at the post of duty. If he comes this morning, I want to be standing right here in the pulpit. You say, Brother Brandon, if he was to come this morning, shouldn't you be out there? No, sir. This is my post of duty. I'll be standing right here preaching when he comes, saying the same things I am. Amen. Then when he comes, I'll just move right on out with him. If I'm hoeing potatoes, I'll just be hoeing away just as hard as I can. When he comes, I'll just drop the hoe and take off. Remember in the Jubilee year, if he was hoeing with the hoe, and they just kept on hoeing, they know the Jubilee year was maybe 10 minutes more, and the trumpet will sound at the Jubilee year. Then they just keep on pitching hay, whatever they was doing. But when the trumpet sounded, they dropped the pitchfork and gone. See, that's it. Just keep on pitching hay until the trumpet sounds. All right? And that's what I'm trying to bring. You got to keep hoping until Jesus comes. You've got to keep holding on. You've got to, that keeping power of hope now abides right here in the children of God. The faith that we have to believe God abides in us. The love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts to the world, it abides in us. Now let's believe tonight what I've been bringing, that the hope, that joyful place of I know it, and I can be happy about it, and I can rejoice in it right now as if it's sitting right here in my hand. Because as far as it's concerned in God's timeline, there ain't no time or space to it. He promised it, I got to have it. And that hope will bring me. Again, you're sick tonight, it'll bring you from sickness to health. You lost tonight, it'll bring you from being lost to being saved. You're empty tonight, it'll bring you from being empty to being filled. But you got to be willing to hold on. You got to be willing to say, I don't have to feel joy or confidence to have joy and confidence. Man, that'll trip an emotional person, I suppose. But it goes beyond, the faith is a different sense. Even this hope I'm preaching to you is in a different plane of existence than what your flesh wants to say. Your flesh is going to change minute to minute and day by day. Remember what I preached last service, the spirit is what benefits, the flesh don't profit nothing. But that hope that is in Christ, it is an anchor of, let me ask you this, is it an anchor of the flesh? That ain't what the Bible says. It ain't even an anchor of your spirit. Sometimes your spirit don't even agree with you. You never sat there and had an emotion you didn't even want to have? And then wonder what is even going on because I'm over here saying this is stupid, yet I'm standing right here doing it. Like, what's going on? Because your spirit ain't even anchored in. But if that soul gets anchored in, it will bring the rest of that subject. And I've had the same thing happen. I've had to hold on when I didn't even know. I remember when my wife, and I'm just closing on this, my wife had that preterm labor with Wesley. And we went, you know, went to the hospital and things, and she was having contractions, I think 32 weeks, which is a couple months early. Excuse me. And of course, the hospital gets all worked up about everything because, you know, they're just doing their best. I don't get mad at them, I suppose. But I had to drop her off real quick because I forget. I had to get the kids out of there for some reason. They weren't allowed in there. So I had to take the kids over to mom and dad's. And in that little bit of time, I couldn't have been gone an hour. It went from just everything okay, sitting down, blah, blah. I come in there, man, it's like chickens with their heads cut off. Everybody running around, high, just anxiety all up and down, plugging, poking, prodding Ellie with all kinds of things. And I'll be honest with you, I sat over to the side. I do remember this, and that's when I started getting mad. So I'm just over here sitting, watching them do all this stuff, and all I could think of is, would you please get out of my way? Because all you're doing is making it worse. I even think naturally, if a woman, all you women, I had no child yet, but you have. If you're going through contractions, you think everybody getting all worked up and anxious about it is going to help you stop having them? To me, that just makes sense. You're probably going to have them worse now because you're getting all worked up. So that was my logical thought, but I was still thinking on a whole different plane. That if you just, Lord, get these women and things out of my way. I say, I don't remember there being a male doctor, so don't get mad at me. I just remember all being a bunch of nurses. Get these women out of my way. We're going to take care of this right now because it ain't our promise here. We're going to come where the Lord brought us. And sure enough, finally everybody got out of there and I went over to Ellie. I said, Ellie, look, we got all this stuff and whatever, but I want you to look at me. We're going to agree right now. And we're going to tell this body what to do and it's going to do what we say. Absolutely. Because we're going, you know, I had all kinds of promises we could have went through, but you know, two of us are going to agree, whatever. You ask anything in my name, I'll do it. We're going to believe that, right? And that's what I remember telling you. We're going to tell this body what to do and it's going to do it. So I pray with her that the contractions would stop and that everything would be fine and Wes would be born normal time. And of course, you know, I watched the thing go boop, and then just these little bitty things that was like this before. And I was like, praise the Lord, we're done. Well, the doctor ain't going to do that, you know that. So sure enough, here comes, we got to take you to Toledo because, you know, no defiance doctor could do anything. So they had to put us in the ambulance and I had to follow her all the way up there. We just went up there and sat and I just love it too because I just started asking every doctor, every nurse that come into. And I'll tell you what, brother, if you want to feel a lot of anxiety, just ask them what they think. And watch them all contradict each other. And you have to go, I wonder who knows what they're talking about. That's why I don't trust that, brother. And I thank God for doctors and hospitals. I'm glad we had somewhere to go. But I want to say this. That's not where I put my faith. And it definitely ain't where I put my hope. I put it in the Lord. Exactly. Because that's somewhere I can put an anchor in and I'll be okay. And sure enough, you know, that one person say, oh, you're still having contractions here. Oh, this and this. And I knew it was just her moving around and things. There were no contractions going on at all. And sure enough, they finally brought us one of these charts. I don't know if you've ever been, what Toledo were we? Or what hospital, Flower or something? I don't remember now. But anyhow, they brought one of these charts. I'm just showing you. But had a whole list and kind of like a pyramid of doctors and stuff. And we had been talking to all these people down here. And I was just thinking, Lord, give me one of these fellas, you know, that might actually know what they're talking about. And finally, it was, I think, Wednesday morning or Tuesday night, one of the two. I think, I can't remember now. But right around there, finally we got one of them. Had doctors come out there, and I was like, Doc, what do you think? And he started looking at everything and says, man, you're fine. I'm just going to give you this little medicine here. You can go home in the morning. Man, see, that's what I'm saying. Hope says, I believe what God says, whether it's happening now or not, I ain't even looking at that. He said it's going to be fine, and he's going to be born just right. Now they put her on this medicine. I remember that and stuff, and Ellie took it. They wanted to give you shots and things. Was that pregnancy, or was that Rosalie? I don't remember now. It was Wesley, yeah, and I don't want to go down that story, but you can ask her later. But anyhow, look, I believe that right then. I ain't going to even look at this anymore. It's fine. And they wanted to schedule it because Ellie had to have a C-section with Dawson. So you know how defiance is. They want you to have it every time. And Ellie really didn't want to have one. But I had already rested. He's going to be born normal. We ain't going to worry about this. You can call me crazy all you want, but that's where I put my hope. We believed it. We confessed it. That's what's going to happen. Sure enough, they scheduled her for a C-section. But the doctor, I still remember this because I was sitting here in an appointment, says, if you come in at 7 centimeters, though, and things are moving along, I won't make you get a C-section. I'll just let you go ahead and go. And I always remember that 7. You know, that's pretty, being all spiritual and things. But hey, that's I don't believe this having a chance either now. All right? There ain't no chances. And I don't know why I'm even sharing this, but I pray to just bless you tonight. But sure enough, we come in there. And guess what happened the night before the C-section? Ellie said, man, I'm starting to feel a little bit here, you know, and getting some, and she was trying to hold off. What's that thing called? Epidural. Yeah, she's trying to hold off because we think that's what kind of messed up the first one. She got a little too early and things was all numbed. But anyhow, so she's trying to hold off. Well, if you know my wife at all, she don't have the highest pain tolerance. So she was getting ready to get that thing going. So sure enough, she started feeling it. But when we walked in there, they had it all ready to go to do C-section. And the second we got in, it says, let's measure one more time. 7 centimeters. Says, well, all right, then we're going to cancel C-section. We'll just bring you on in here. And I forget everything. You know, they're all like gross stuff doctors do. But anyways, I just survived. That's what I did. I hate all that stuff. But anyways, the point is he was born normally. Didn't have to even go through a C-section. Why? The God of all grace. The God, he's the hope of our souls. And you know what's so wonderful about that, too, is because of that, then the next time the doctor says, well, you already had one naturally, you can go ahead and have the next one naturally, too. And I go through the miracle of keeping Rosalie alive as well, because she should have choked and died. But the doctor came in and pulled her right out. Praise the Lord. They did an episiotomy. You can go look that up yourself. That, whoo, man, gross. Anyways, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've had some with all three of our pregnancies. Why? Because God wants to show you that He's still God. When things fall apart, you've got to put your hope in Him. You've got to have joyful and confident expectation. Not get all worked up, get all nervous about things. Let that go. That's why the opposite of love isn't even hate. It's fear. It shows you're getting away from that real love with God because you begin to fear and begin to think God's going to fail and stuff. And it leads you to that evil heart of unbelief. And again, I'm trusting people's integrity. They're not trying, people aren't trying to be evil, but I'm just showing you that unbelief leads you to being evil. Because you'll doubt God, and before you know it, you're sitting on every side because you don't know, you don't have no hopes left. And that's why I think hell really is. I think that's what hell really is a place where there's no hope. Not a little, because if you have a glimmer of hope, you can still live. Why do you think the world is the way it is now? Because they're losing all of it. And when people, they keep putting their stock in different things, and what keeps happening is the devil will let you think there's confidence in this, in your retirement, your job, your friends, blah, blah, wherever. Even now, he just creates a universe in the internet for you to put your hope. And then what does he do? Crashes it. And he laughs at you. Because he don't love you. He wants you to be hopeless because he knows deep down he's hopeless. And he's going to bring down everybody he can with him. How about we just leave him aside and put our hopes where they belong? Our hopes belong in Christ, the one that gave his life that we could have his. Let's stand together. Simple message, simple service, but I pray it does something for our souls tonight. It's going to be F, I believe, Dad. Just a chorus, and then I'd like to maybe sing Blessed Assurance as well. Well, give me F first. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Say it with all your heart. Believe what you say.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Oh, yes, my hope.
Sing it tonight.
Is in the Lord this time on and evermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore.
One more time now. Let's close our eyes and really think on Him and say, Lord, that's where my hope is tonight.
My hope in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the
tonight. It sounds so, just one more time tonight. Aren't you glad your hope's in the Lord? Thank you, Jesus.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Oh, blessed be His name. Give me seed.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed assurance. It's close.
Oh, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Think about these words tonight. You're an heir of salvation.
I'm an heir of salvation.
I was purchased by God. Yes, Lord.
I've been purchased of God.
Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
I was born of His Spirit and washed in His blood.
Oh, let it be your story. Sing it with all your heart.
Oh, yes, this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my Savior for all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song. I am praising my Savior all the day.
Submit to the Lord tonight
and perfect delight and visions of rapture now burst on my sight.
Oh, just think about it now.
For the angels and me they bring from above, oh, the echoes of mercy and whispers of love.
With all your heart, just one more time. This is my story.
Oh, and this is my story. Oh, and this is my song. I'm praising my Savior. Savior
give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your hope, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, now that we have that hope tonight, let's hold on to God. Amen. He's our only hope anyhow. It's F, Dad. You got F?
And time, it is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stay. God's unchanging hand. I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Gonna build your hopes on things eternal. And hold to God's unchanging hand.
Let's trust in Him tonight.
Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsake.
Oh, just still more closely.
To Him bring.
Oh,
I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
His hand.
I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm gonna build your hopes on things eternal. God's unchanging hand.
Yes, oh yes, Lord, believe it now.
Covet not this world's vain riches. Oh, that so rapidly decays. Just seek to gain the heavenly treasure. They will never pass away.
Never pass away. Hallelujah, Lord.
I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Gonna build your hopes on things eternal.
Oh, think about this last verse now. I believe it.
Hallelujah.
When
your journey is completed.
Oh, yes, Lord. Praise our God.
If to God you have been true, just fair and bright, your home in glory.
Yes, Lord. Praise our God.
Your enraptured soul shall hear. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Oh, I'm
going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Gonna build your hopes on things eternal. God's unchanging hand.
Hey, amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise our God. Praise our God. Let's hold on to His hand. Let's hope for His word and watch what God promised come to pass in our lives. Amen. Let's go right back where we started, Dad. What a day that'll be. Let's keep that on our minds tonight. Still the key to F. But I'll let you be dismissed on this as you sing it. Think of that. Let it give you that hope of the resurrection. Next trial that comes your way, next hardship, say, Lord, I still got the same hope I had right there in church. It's still here today. Let me hold on to your promises. Let me have joy in the midst of this, and let me have confidence that you're going to fulfill your word. Amen. Let's sing as we're dismissed tonight. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face,